You're listening to the Liberty News Radio Network, and this is the Political Cesspool. The Political Cesspool, known across the South and worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program, and here to guide you through the murky waters of the political cesspool is your host, James Edwards.
Friday, five nights a week. The last half, of course, we've been picked up by the network and syndicated, and we're on weekly rather than nightly. Now, thinking to myself as it was storming today, out of all of those shows and of all those years, I just can't believe that we've never had a power outage or a power surge that knocked us off the air. Because it was storming today, you know, you think about the lights going out at the home, you know, from time to time, and it's a heavy storm. And I was like, man, you know, sooner or later it's going to happen. About 10 seconds before we went on the air, just now, it happened. A power surge just ripped through the radio station, knocked everything off, waiting to be reconnected to the network so we can get on the ISDN line. But I'm actually broadcasting via a cell phone hookup, as I said, in the radio station. This is one of those nights where you just wish you had that live video feed that we keep wanting to implement because... Well, you would have seen a lot of cussing just a few seconds ago, that's for sure. But it wouldn't have gone out over the radio, at least not that part. But Keith is still wearing his headset. That's not going to do you any good, Keith. You've got to take those off for a second until we get the until we get the microphone back up and running. But, well, this actually, folks, what I'm doing right now, until we get our mics and headsets back online, I'm going to pass the cell phone to Keith and let him say hello to everybody while we collect ourselves and get our bearings.
Well, since we don't have anything else to do right now, let me give you the flight plan for the show. We're going to talk about blog items for the most part of the first hour. In the second hour, we've got three Behind Enemy Lines articles that kind of blend together that we'll talk about. One is Exam Cheat Gets 7 Years. And then one about proposed unified school budget, that's for the new Shelby County school system that includes the Memphis schools, says education spending would be at lowest level since 2007. And then, last but not least, in the commercial appeal Thursday edition, suit challenges renaming Parks. That's the Confederate Parks in Memphis that the new improved black leadership of Memphis has decided need to be changed to get us in step with what's happening now, baby, here in 21st century America. And we're going to blend all these together in kind of a Memphis soul stew and let people know exactly what's going on there. Then, if we have enough time, I remember reading a blog entry where one of our listeners was incredulous that his history teacher, either at a junior college or at a high school, didn't know anything about the Posse Comitatus Act. Well, we're going to give a little seminar on Posse Comitatus tonight if we have the time. That's the flight plan for the first 2 hours, and James will tell you what's coming up in the third hour.
Well, God only knows, you know, the way the show started out this evening. But I can tell you this: it will be a fast and furious flying by the seat of your pants 3 hours if I have anything to say about it. Now, as we get started this evening, I mean, that is a true story. I literally was thinking earlier today. I guess my thoughts just put that into the universe about us having a power outage and having to suffer through it. And it happened tonight, first time in 9 years. But we want to go to the mailbag very quickly. You know, we pride ourselves on being able to receive. You know, it really is a blessing and an honor to receive the correspondence that we do. And we share, or it has been our custom in recent weeks to share a selection or two as we kick things off and banter about the first segment before we dive into the program and get down to brass tacks. But this week in the mailbag, and we've just been inundated, you know, we've been talking about in the month of May since we unveiled the new look on the website that the traffic has increased 110%, and we're just kicking and screaming here in the political cesspool. Got a lot of mail this week, a couple of which were radio interview requests for us to appear as guests on other shows. We'll talk more about that and give you more information as those interviews are firmed up, tables being turned, where we'll be the guests and the interviewees rather than the interviewers. But one email in particular this week I got to share with you came from the Southern Poverty Law Center. Yes, the Southern Poverty Law Center does email me on rare occasion. In fact, they've done it three times. All three times they wanted to interview me, and all three times I declined. The first time I respectfully declined, and the second two times I just didn't answer. But, you know, the SBC has given us holy hell for our entire run. They libel us, they slander us, they mischaracterize our work, they launch baseless attacks against us, and throughout it all, they do it with adjectives that we would never use to describe ourselves. In fact, I didn't even think that they knew my real name. I thought that they mistakenly believed my birth name to be racist, homophobe, xenophobe, bigot, because that's what they always refer to me as. But no, lo and behold, I get an email just this week. Interview request for James Edwards was the subject line. And listen to how cordial and polite that the SPLC can be when they want something from you. Dear Mr. Edwards, my name is Don Terry. I'm a writer with the Southern Poverty Law Center. I'd love to interview you about the rise and wit of Ramsey Paul. I'm working on a profile of the red-hot blogger for our magazine. Please let me know if you'd be interested in doing the interview via phone or email. Looking forward to hearing from you. Warmest regards. So, I mean, Keith, I guess when they want me to team up with them to slime somebody else, they can be cordial and refer to me as Mr. Edwards. But when they're ever talking about me on their own accord, it's, a bunch of names that I wouldn't call a dog.
Well, it reminds me of that famous song from Disney's Peter Pan, Never Smile with a Crocodile. You can't get friendly with a crocodile. Don't be taken in by his toothy grin. He's thinking of how well you'll fit beneath his chin. That's why the SPLC wants to talk to you. They apparently think, they're hoping you'll dish the dirt because of some behind-the-scenes competition between you and Ramsey Paul. Of course, no such competition, no such enmity exists. So then on the other hand, they'll just, they've got you damned if you do, damned if you don't. If you try to say good things about Ramsey Paul, then they'll say, see the type of people that like Ramsey Paul? You know, that skinhead, neo-Nazi, homophobe, bigot, xenophobe, whatever, James Edwards. So consequently, you're damned if you do, damned if you don't. And they will definitely edit out anything that is, you know, going to be positive from our viewpoint in this interview. So it's a lose-lose situation, so I think you're very wise to pass on that opportunity.
I don't even do interviews with the local NBC affiliates, so I'm certainly not going to do one with the SPLC. But, you know, it is what it is. I remember when we had United States Congressman Walter Jones on the show last fall, big interview for us, and it made national news, and the SPLC was just beside themselves. The fact that they can't scare away, you know, marquee guests from coming on the show, and he stuck to his guns like Pat Buchanan did, and didn't apologize for coming on and talking to us about important issues, and they...
If you love pineapple as much as I do, I've got some great news for you. You're going to love this offer from Freeze Dry Guy. For the month of May, Freeze Dry Guy is offering the finest quality freeze-dried pineapple, a case of six number 10 cans yielding 114 servings at a special introductory price. First quality freeze-dried pineapple grown and packed with nothing added. This healthy treat works wonders with salad. It's great for snacking, hiking, hunting, camping, and for adding to your food storage program. And please note that Freeze Dry Guy's foods will store on your shelf for decades. Order now and get free shipping to your front door within the lower 48 states. This special introductory price is good until May 31st. For more information and a free complete product list, go to freezedryguy.com or phone 866-404-3663. freezedryguy.com, 866-404-3663.
The word vigor is defined in the dictionary as health and strength in body and mind. Do you have enough health and strength in body and mind? Would you like to pursue life with passion? Would you like to know where you stand when it comes to your vigor score? That's right. There's a free scientific test you could take now that'll help you find out what your vigor score is. Then you can do things to improve that score. Did you know that? It's absolutely free, F-R-E-E free. All you got to do is get a hold of Kurt Crosby. You can do so, C-U-R-T. That's Kurt, C-U-R-T, at libertyroundtable.com. Or call Kurt at 801-669-2211. That's 801-669-2211. Would you like to learn about the scientifically proven vigor test? It's free. How would you like to improve your vigor score? Again, inexpensive solutions are available now. Call Kurt Crosby at 801-669-2211. Or Kurt, C-U-R-T, at libertyroundtable.com for your free vigor score test today.
This is Mercy. If you're listening to this message, warriors, you are the resistance. Warriors, you are not alone. There are pockets of resistance all around the planet. We are at the brink. Read about it in The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. Available now at newsstands everywhere. The Sovereign is a monthly 24-page tabloid newspaper featuring incendiary content about life during wartime in the age of Obama. Warriors, keep to date every month. Remember to read The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance, available at newsstands everywhere. This alert is for all you boppers out there in the big city, all you street people with an ear for the action. This is Mercy. If you're listening to this message, warriors, you are the resistance. This is Mercy. Mine will be the last voice you will ever hear. Don't be alarmed.
It's time to jump back into the political cesspool. To be part of the show and have your voice heard around the world, call us at 1-866-986-6397.
All right, we're back at full strength now. The SPLC was on the power play last segment. We were doing it on the cell phone, but hey, we got everything reconnected here at our posh accommodations at WLRM, and we're back online and connected to the network, and we're going out everywhere. 100%. Well, I ran right into the commercial break because I couldn't hear my cues over the cell phone, and I know I'm going to be getting an email soon from our producer, Art Frith. He hates it when we talk over him. You know, because he does those bumps, those intros, outros. He hates it, and he certainly hates when we talk so long we just go right into the commercial break. We don't even stop at all. It happens from time to time. I mean, we get excited. We get carried away. But this time it was just, you know, I couldn't hear. I knew it was getting close. But nevertheless, so I don't know exactly where I ended at the top of the show or the bottom of the last segment, whatever. But I was saying the other two times when the SPLC emailed me, just a crazed, bizarre rant over the fact that Walter Jones, congressman out of North Carolina, had come on. And before that, a girl who was, as it turned out, an SPLC reporter posing to be a fan of the show with a, I don't know if you can give a come hither email, but it was a very flattering email, string of emails that she sent to yours truly. And I guess fortunately for me and everybody else, I didn't fall for it and give her anything more than I would have given, well, you, Keith, for that matter. But, so she, flirtatious string of emails, I guess trying to compromise me. Well, I didn't go for it. And then at the end of it all, she said, well, I was just trying to get something on you for an article we're writing. My name is this, and we're doing an expose on you in the next SPLC intelligence report. enjoy. But then, this is the morals or lack thereof of our adversaries, and it's been well documented. We don't need to go any further into that or relive it. But the fact that they emailed me yet again this week to try to get me to collaborate on a story they're writing about somebody else after they've written so many about me, why would I want to help them? I don't know. You don't know. There is no answer. All right, well, give me an answer real quick, Keith. Then we got to get down. Now that we've recollected ourselves, we're going to get to work.
Well, who's the great tempter and deceiver of all time? The devil. And what do I say? Liberalism is the modern face of evil. And if there is ever a facet of liberalism, the SPLC qualifies. They are probably the personification of modern liberalism, with their hit pieces, with their Jewish left-wing approach to everything, and their desire to bring down anyone that would speak out for white Gentiles. So consequently, you were tempted by the modern version of the devil, and you came through. Congratulations, James.
I'm taking a bow as Keith speaks. All right, let's get down to some rapid fire. Let's get down to business now. After we've wasted the first 20 minutes. Well, I don't want to say it's wasted. I mean, we did what we could with what we were presented with. Jihad murder in the United Kingdom. This happened about a week ago. We didn't talk about it. But so there was a British soldier walking down the street. A black Muslim jumps out of the alleyway, something that you would expect to have to deal with in Khartoum or Kabul or something like that, but not in the streets of the English capital. And he was beheaded. I mean, just right there on the street, beheaded in front of man, woman, and child, pedestrian, it didn't matter. And, you know, this is what we always say. You know, we coined it, Keith, on CNN. You can't have a first world nation with a third world population, or if you prefer, you can have a first world nation or multiculturalism, but you can't have both. This situation certainly adds credence to those sayings. Nick Griffin, chairman of the British National Party, elected member of European Parliament, a good friend of ours, been on the show a couple of times. Being a member of European Parliament is akin to being, I guess, a United States senator. It's a pretty prestigious position. And he has reflected on last week's brutal murder of a British soldier. And he predicts what will happen next and gives a solution to the problem. To hear that, go to thepoliticalcesspool.org. We got the video there for you. But one of the things he suggests, Keith, and I think it's an interesting proposition, is, of course, securing the borders, tightening the screws against illegal immigration. But for all of the naturalized citizens, those who have been able to gain citizenship through the lax immigration laws of England, pay them to leave. Pay them to leave. I just thought that was a brilliant situation, something we should do here, because in the end, whatever you have to pay them to leave is going to be a lot cheaper than the cost it's going to be to keep them as more and more situations like this manifest themselves.
Well, they would never leave no matter what you paid them, and if they did leave, then they would claim that they'd been bilked and demand that they be repatriated, of course, without paying back the money. This is the way of the left. This is the way of all non-whites who want to get into the white nations like America, Australia, Europe, all the European nations. They know that if they want to live in a first world environment, they've got to live among a lot of white people. Now, everything that Nick Griffin said, I agree with, but I, as an American, let me weigh in with my own peculiar take on this. This is what happens when a nation bans firearms. What is an army soldier doing going around in uniform without having some type of weapon on him, preferably a firearm? If people in England had concealed carry permits with the frequency that they do here in the good old American South, then this guy would have been drilled, shot dead in his tracks, and that's exactly the fate that he deserves. Of course, now he'll gin up tons of legal fees to be paid out of the public coffers in England trying to fight this. He'll have all sorts of liberal maniacs, their equivalent of the SPLC in the United Kingdom, trying to spring the guy. The guy will wind up being in prison probably for life, spinning out endless habeas corpus petitions, things like this. What England needs is what America has: one, a gun culture; two, the right to keep and bear arms guaranteed by a written constitution. That's where England falls short, and particularly in a multicultural nation, you need to have those type of guarantees written down. Of course, nothing is going to stop the left from trying to abrogate those rights. They have no respect for the Constitution. They invoke it when they think they can use it as a hammer to bludgeon traditional society with, as they did in the Brown versus Board of Education case, with a very dishonest reading and a very dishonest method of trying to change society through the power of judicial review. On the other hand, when the Constitution says something like, you know, you have a right to keep and bear arms, well, then just like the Bible, it's just this dusty old document written by a bunch of flawed human beings, either dusty Bedouins in the case of the Bible, or slaveholding dead white men regarding the Constitution, and they have no compunction whatsoever about trying to do an end run on it.
Keith, I agree with everything you say. The soldier, though, was actually in plain clothes when he was beheaded. I mean, I don't know if they knew he was a soldier or not. I haven't gotten that deep into the story. But, you know, as Pat Buchanan said, if British citizens can't even walk in the streets of their own capital without fear of being beheaded, I mean, what kind of, you know, what are they devolving into over there? And, you know, this guy that beheaded the soldier sat there and did an interview. Or after he did it, with blood on his hands, he had some machete. I don't know if you've ever seen the Saw movies. It looks like something Jigsaw would use to torture somebody. He had like a machete in one hand and a like a saw in another. Hands bloodied, you know, giving this this interview on a video camera while this guy's head's, you know, rolling down the curb. And people are just walking around. You're right. If people had had a gun, I mean, that guy wouldn't be giving an interview. But they've de-armed everyone over there. You know, the reason Switzerland, I got a video entry that's going to go up on the blog next week. The reason Switzerland is the world's safest country and you have no crime is because they require everyone to have military training. They require all males to have guns, at least one, and they encourage the women to have them as well. No crime in Switzerland. I guarantee you nobody got beheaded in Switzerland this week. We got to take a break. We'll be back and let you opine, Keith.
Exposing corruption, informing citizens, pursuing liberty. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
Are you a native son or daughter of the South who pleads the stars and bars? Someone not born in Dixieland, but who is a Johnny Reb at heart and looking for a place to shop that promotes Southern heritage? Well, your search is over. Dixie Republic is the place to go for all things celebrating the Confederacy and promoting Southern pride. Inside the log cabin just outside Travelers Rest, South Carolina, Dixie Republic has t-shirts, hats, videos, flags, books, belt buckles, and some of the best mouth-watering barbecue sauce that will ever touch your lips. There's just about everything you want honoring the South at Dixie Republic. Well, you say that South Carolina's a bit too far for you to drive? Have no fear, my friend. All of this is just a mouse click away. Go online at www.dixierepublic.com. Your home for all things celebrating the Confederacy and promoting Southern pride.
Hello, everyone. James Edwards here. Are you sick and tired of liberals and race hustlers and the media calling you a racist just because you oppose Obama's policies? Well, my friend, those days are over. After you read Racism Schmacism, you'll never again fear being called the R word. I invite you to discover why every conservative in America needs a copy of my explosive new book. Racism Schmacism has received much critical acclaim and will equip you with the key to unlock their socio-political nuclear bomb once and for all. Order your copy today by visiting the official website of the Political Cesspool radio program, thepoliticalcesspool.org. Proceeds of each sale go to help keeping our award-winning show on the air, and they make great gifts for your conservative friend or family member. Buy Racism Schmacism today at www.thepoliticalcesspool.org.
Are you worried about America? Do you fear the power of the Obama brigades to take away your rights? The Obama presidency is the most radical left-wing administration in American history. Our constitutional liberties are in danger. What can you do? Join the Council of Conservative Citizens. For over 20 years, the CFCC has fought for the rights and ideals of the European American majority. The CFCC has won legal and political battles to protect your heritage and your liberties. The CFCC advocates strong state governments over the power of Washington, D.C. to rule your life. The CFCC believes in an American first foreign and domestic policy which opposes globalism and one world government. The CFCC advocates racial integrity as God's natural order. Visit our website today at www.cfcc.org and join fellow European Americans in the fight for our people.
Welcome back. To get on the show, call us on James's Dime at 1-866-986-6397.
All right, everybody, welcome back to the show. Keith, we're going to have to tighten the screws here. I know we got a little bit flustered there at the top of the show when the lightning struck, apparently, the antenna here. The nerve center, yeah, our nest. But we've essentially covered one story in 30 minutes, so I got a lot more to do. We're going to do rapid fire. I'm going to set it up. You got 2 minutes to knock it down, and then we're moving on, because I know you got a portfolio full of content here for the second hour, so if I don't get my stuff in that I want to cover, it ain't going to get done at all. But continuing on with the Muslims in the United Kingdom, and this is now a recurring theme throughout the civilized world, seven men... You can we'll play guess that their ethnicity if you would like. Were convicted in London on Tuesday for sexually abusing underage girls, including one who was just 11, by plying them with alcohol and drugs before forcing them to commit sex acts. The guilty verdict followed 5 months of testimony indicating the pedophile sex ring exploited girls between 2004 and 2012 in the Oxford area, some 60 miles northwest of London. Charges include rape, trafficking, and child prostitution. The case follows several other high-profile ones, including sex rings that took advantage of underage girls. Prosecutors said seven of the men on trial were of Pakistani descent and two had family roots in North Africa. Other recent high-profile cases, including one in Rochdale that involved a similar sex ring, have also involved Pakistani men convicted of abusing young white girls, in some cases sparking ethnic tensions and protests. And the story goes on from there. That also can be found at thepoliticalcesspool.org this week. So here in London, in the same week, you have a beheading and a major pedophilia sex ring that has been broken down. Hey, this is the wonders of diversity and multiculturalism. Wouldn't the lives of those in the UK be so less rich if they were not able to experience these benefits?
You know, I thought that only white people were guilty of being slave masters, except for places like third world locales, Mali, Somalia, Djibouti, and in certain parts of Asia. The modern day slavers are, for the most part, involved in what our ancestors used to call white slavery. That is the enslavement of women to be used as prostitutes. Now, what a remarkable coincidence that almost never do you find white pimps involved in human sex trafficking in places like America and Europe. Instead, it's always non-whites, particularly blacks. In fact, the black pimp is celebrated in song and story here in America. They make movies about him like Superfly or Action Jackson and things like this back in the 70s, and the glorification still goes on. But the truth of the matter is, these people are slavers. The Castro brothers in Cleveland were slavers. So are all of these black pimps that keep, it's a passing parade in Memphis. You know, almost every month there is some major trial in federal court of a pimp slash drug dealer, and the two go hand in hand like love and marriage. They get the women, insecure girls for the most part, hooked on drugs, and once they get them hooked, then they can break them and make them do whatever they want. And holding their drug hostage is holding them hostage to, you know, providing them with the drug. That's what white slavery is all about. And the white slavers are always non-whites. So, you know, where is it? You know, there's some type of breakdown between this customary liberal story. You know, if you really are opposed to slavery today, then you need to be on the side of whites and against non-whites. For example, whenever there is a white girl that goes missing, they don't automatically assume that she's dead. And the reason is there is such a worldwide market for white women in prostitution. It has been since the days of the Barbary pirates, and it exists unabated today.
Keith, that's enough bigotry. I've told you once. I've told you 100 times. Diversity is our greatest strength. And these, you know, don't let stories like this ever make you think differently, you know, young man. All right. But no, seriously. You know, Britain's all, you know, off its rocker, and America's, you know, fast following suit. But not all European nations are crazy. Yeah, exactly. In fact, the one that you would expect to be the most insane is the one that may very well be the key to white survival. Russia, they who have suffered the most under communism and Bolshevism and Marxism, is leading perhaps a renaissance of what one would perhaps call the Western world.
White consciousness.
Russia says no to adoption of Russian children to homosexual couples. And listen, I'm going to just read a couple of snippets through this article, and you're going to pick up a half a dozen of positive trends that are occurring there over in the motherland. And it's a shame that Vladimir Putin isn't the head of the Boy Scouts, and I really mean that. I mean, you know, and people say, well, you know, Putin is ex-KGB. He's not everything you think he is. Well, I don't think he's Jesus Christ, but I think that he's, without a doubt, would be better than any president we've had since Jefferson Davis. And that's just the truth. Homosexual couples from abroad will not be allowed to adopt Russian children under new rules backed by President Vladimir Putin. The move follows implementation of a new law on January 1st preventing adoption of Russian children by American couples. See, they don't want their kids to be subverted and perverted, and so they're limiting, you know, they're not going to let them be adopted by Americans. Good for Russia. I agree with that. Putin has asked for amendments to be drafted to the current adoption laws by the Ministry of Education and Science and Supreme Court. The draft legislation is expected to be by July 1st. So homosexuals can't adopt Russian kids. Americans can't adopt Russian kids. Seeing what's happening over here in America, like I said, I couldn't agree more with the legislation. But listen to all this other stuff that's going on in Russia, and equally encouraging news. Almost alone among European leaders, Putin has considered limiting measures to curb the country's abortion rate, thought to be among the highest in the world. He wants to limit abortion, Keith. Prime Minister Dmitry Medvedev said in January that improving the Russian Federation's demographics remain a high priority for the government. He said that the population is capable of recovery and growth up to 145 million by 2025. So there we have, they want to increase their birth rate. Horror of horrors. All right. He promised government funds for building of kindergartens and allowing a monthly allowance for mothers who give birth to their third and subsequent children. They want to give you money. In fact, they gave everybody a paid holiday, I think a year or two ago, to go home and have kids. They gave, like, the fathers a day off, a paid day off, if they would go home and try to procreate. Listen, this is incredibly encouraging, what's going on in Russia. They are limiting alcohol sales. I mean, imagine that. Birth rates have risen as a result of some of these measures. From a low of 8.27 births per 1,000 Russians in 1999 up to 12.6 per 1,000 in 2010. Listen, here you have a national leader, and these policies are working. There are statistics that suggest that these policies are working. A national leader that seeks to protect children from sodomy, curb abortion, is working actively to increase the birth rate of his people. Where could we sign up for a president like that?
Yeah, what I wouldn't give to have a man with the values of Vladimir Putin as president of the United States, rather than these weaklings. They're either weaklings like George W. Bush or absolute subverters like our present president, who are trying to tear down the edifice of Western civilization. Think about what is happening in Russia and how positive it is. They don't want alcohol to be, which results in birth defects, to be as readily available. Furthermore, they want to encourage the births of the actual founding stock of Russia, the people who are known as Ruthenians, white Russians. Furthermore, look at America. We have gone away from orphanages, and we have this horrendous foster parent situation in America where most of the children that need to be adopted are black or non-white, and they are farmed out to black people. They're given preference because, you know, it's important for them to, you know, maintain their racial integrity, not important for white people to maintain theirs. And they're going to people who are just interested in making money, and these kids go into various forms of delinquency, criminality, prostitution, yada, 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 all of this stuff. But in Russia, they are making provisions for these kids. I think there ought to be orphanages in Russia, and they say, you know, if you have a child, don't abort. Just we'll take care of that child in an orphanage, and that orphanage would be much better than the foster care system we have in America today.
We got to take a break, but we'll be right back on it right after these messages. Stay tuned, everybody.
Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character, where educating both hearts and minds brings about academic excellence. There is a school in American Fork where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. Based on LDS principles and a love of country, now in our 39th year, American Heritage School is accepting fall enrollment for kindergarten through high school. What would you do for your child? Give them an education that will prepare them for life. Located east of the Temple in American Fork, American Heritage School is a remarkable and affordable alternative. Visit us, find us online, or in the Yellow Pages. American Heritage School in American Fork.
Are you looking for an affordable way to earn your bachelor's degree? Do you want a college experience that's more personal? Then discover your future at America's Transfer College. Students across the U.S. are choosing Ivy Bridge College as a better, smarter way to earn their degree. Thanks to Ivy Bridge's unique program, starting at a two-year college and transferring to finish your degree has never been easier. The program is simple. Start with Ivy Bridge College and take your first 2 years of college online. Transfer to one of over 140 of Ivy Bridge's partner schools and take your upper division courses. Then graduate with your bachelor's degree from the school of your choice. Personal attention, small class sizes, affordable tuition, and a clear pathway to graduation. Start your academic journey and contact us to learn more about Ivy Bridge College today. Call 877-622-2059 or visit americastransfercollege.com to find out more.
Ladies and gentlemen of our Liberty Roundtable audience, we invite you to consider joining us. We use the services of George Costello and Utah Document Solutions. They are your authorized Xerox sales agent. We've been experiencing great service, pricing, and results, and we've gotten to know George and his team at Utah Document Solutions, your authorized Xerox sales agent. We were facing a huge increase from our former supplier, and we've been pleased to enjoy great service and an even lower cost of our documents. We recommend that you check with George to see if he can save you money like he has for us. Call George at 801-216-4816. He is your authorized Xerox sales agent. The number again, 801-216-4816.
Welcome back. To get on the show, call us on James's Dime at 1-866-986-6397.
All right, everybody, welcome back to the Political Cesspool Radio program. We're settling in now after a little bit of a hubbub to open the program this evening. Peter Scoop Stanton, our intrepid Washington, D.C. correspondent, formerly the international correspondent out of Rota, Spain. He's the international man of mystery is what he is, but now he's stateside. Scoop, what do you got for us tonight?
Good evening, James. Good evening, Keith. And good evening, Cisco family. Last week, I had this big thing I wanted to do about a couple of things. The passing of music legend Ray Manzarek.
Right.
The death of the soldier in the UK.
Right.
And also Umbrellagate, courtesy of the Obama administration. But Mr. Edwards said, hey, Scoop, comment about this interview I'm having with this Victoria's Secret supermodel.
Well, it don't happen every day.
Right. And so that air just went out of my sails. But, James, you did a great job. Great interview. But so let's get back on track. In terms of the UK assassination of that soldier, it
right.
took British authorities 9 minutes to get there and another 20 minutes for a unit with firearms to show up and take care of business. Unfortunately, the two perpetrators that beheaded that soldier, they're still alive and kicking.
Yep.
And then, to make matters worse, people are obviously outraged. They're going on Twitter, Facebook, social media, and what do the British authorities do? They go after the people who criticize Islam.
Yep, yeah, exactly.
There's blood in the streets, and Scotland Yard and the Home Office is going after keyboard commandos.
Right.
And then the English Defense League, which is another British nationalist group, they're a little bit rough around the edges. They took out, they took protests in the streets, so what do the authorities do? They surround and keep a close eye on the English Defense League. Meanwhile, you got Muslims, third world immigrants, and also people from parts unknown turning the rivers of the United Kingdom red.
Well, Peter, this is Keith. Did you hear my comments in the last segment about that?
Yes,
I said, I wish this is what happens to a nation that bans firearms and doesn't arm its ordinary policemen. You can expect this type of thing to happen. And I said, thank heaven for the Second Amendment and thank heaven for concealed carry permits and thank heaven for the good old boy gun culture we have here in the South. I doubt whether that guy would be living that was a perpetrator of that crime. In fact, right now, instead, what I imagine he would be doing is he'd be pushing up daisies rather than doing anything else. In fact, right now in the UK, what he's probably doing is hiring an agent and negotiating a price for various interviews from the news media.
Right, and on top of that, he's sitting in a taxpayer-paid British hospital getting well on the British taxpayer and probably finding a attorney to sue British authorities for back to British stores. Obama did it again last week. I'm not talking about Cash for Clunkers or Solyndra or Tony Rusco or the IRS or the AP or Fast and Furious. I'm talking about Umbrellagate. The Prime Minister of Turkey and Obama was having a joint press conference in the Rose Garden. It started sprinkling. And instead of keeping the press conference short or postpone it so the people that work at the White House can move the podiums inside of the microphones, he had two Marines in their dress uniforms stand by holding umbrellas over to their heads. The Obama's excuse was he didn't know if the Prime Minister of Turkey had another suit. Well, I'm pretty sure that the Prime Minister of a major nation such as Turkey, which is not dirt poor, has more than one suit in his suitcase. Now, if you go back in history, Teddy Roosevelt was given a campaign speech, and he was shot. Mr. Roosevelt finished his speech. Ronald Reagan was shot giving a speech at the Hilton Hotel in downtown Washington, D.C. He was rushed to George Washington University Hospital. He got out of his limousine, walked in the ER. George W. Bush was giving a speech somewhere in South America, and one of his Secret Service agents on his protective detail was grabbed by a mob of angry people. What does Bush do? Does he stop and watch the people beat up the Secret Service agent? No. He jumps in the full ring and gets that man out of harm's way. And then we come to the 44th president. He was afraid of a little bit of rain, so he had these two Marines as props to hold an umbrella. If you go on the internet, there's a picture of President Reagan with Nancy at some ceremony. Nancy holding an umbrella, and President Reagan just wearing a trench coat. Back to you in the studio.
Well, Scoop, I was able to catch the tail end of that. Keith's mom called, and that's about to. We got to talk about it, Keith. Now, I appreciate what you're saying, Scoop. Umbrella Gate, you know, kind of gets lost in the shuffle here with, well, with Benghazi and the AP scandal and the IRS goons going after everybody. You know, to the right of Stalin and well, you know, Fast and Furious. I can't even keep up with all the Obama scandals right now. I listed about a half a dozen. There's a couple of more, any one of which would be an impeachable offense in a decent society. But here in the studio, like I said, it's between the power outage. Keith's mom calls. I know we're in the first hour of the show because she's going to call.
Yeah, she calls every night. You know, just like Dan Quayle said, it's a terrible thing to lose your mind. When you have a parent that starts to have dementia or whatnot like this, they can't remember what they had for lunch, but they can remember things that happened in 1945. And unfortunately, that's the situation. And what I typically do is turn off my phone, but when I do, then I'll have 20 voice messages saying, Keith, where in the world are you? Why, you know, call me and this, that, and the other. So, you know, unfortunately, that's just one of the crosses that children have to bear as their parents age. And, you know, hopefully someday they'll come up with a cure to, you know, the Alzheimer's dementia paradigm that seems to be striking so many of our elderly people nowadays. But that's what was happening. Furthermore, it's great to listen to Scoop Stanton. He is a voice of reason from Blue State America. And quite frankly, I just wish that people that had his common sense could gain control up there. And basically we could turn America back into what it was once in the far distant past when the founding fathers and people with similar wisdom ruled America, not the current cast of idiots in the outdoor insane asylum that they call Blue State America.
Well, don't count on things to get better, Keith. We'll be talking about this story later in the show, I guess during the third hour. One of the articles that was posted on the blog this week, human intelligence has declined sharply since the Victorian era. Westerners, that would be us, have lost 14 IQ points on average since the late 1800s. So in less than 150 years, we've lost 14 IQ points. And when you're talking about the fact that most of us have an IQ between, I don't know, 100 and 120, to take 14 off of that in 150 years is quite a lot. You extrapolate that out by subsequent generations, and we're going to be back trying to light fires with rocks here in about 1,000 years. So I don't know if there's going to be any more scientific or social advancement when you factor in dysgenics into the equation.
Yeah, you know, 14 points is almost 15 points. 15 points is what they call a standard deviation point. That's the difference in the average IQ between the average white American at 100 and the average African-American American at 85. And because human intelligence for all groups is spread over a bell-shaped curve, in other words, it's not a pyramid with a gradually sloping at the same rate of decline on either side of the median, you have a bell. It flattens right up near the top of the bell, which is the median, and then you drop off a cliff like a bell and flange out at the bottom like a bell. And what 15 points means is that only 16% of black people are as intelligent in America as the average white person, as intelligent or more intelligent than the white person. And furthermore, only 16% of whites on the other side of the bell curve, the left-hand side, are as dumb as or dumber than the average black person in America. And then we have added to this that since the days of Queen Victoria, back around the turn of the 19th to the 20th century, there's been a loss of 14 IQ points. Well, what's responsible for this? One, our immigration policy. Westerners aren't like Westerners used to be back in 1900. In 1960, the American population was 90% white, 10% black, and others. Today, whites are down to around 63%. Blacks are 13%. Hispanics 14% and growing, and as a result, that's the whole thing in a nutshell, gentlemen. That's why we're on the air, to bring this type of news to you.
And we're just stating facts with regards to, you know, IQs and IQ scores and tests that are incontrovertibly true. I mean, this is a matter of fact. And anyway, Scoop, we're out of time. Keith chased that rabbit a little bit further into the briar patch than I'd anticipated. But, hey, it's a good subject, and he won't be here later on in the show when I get to it. But, Scoop, thanks for your contributions and your report this evening. We'll look forward to hearing you next week, same time, same place. But for the rest of you, second and third hour still forthcoming tonight of the Political Cesspool. I'm James, he's Keith, and we'll be back to talk to you, make a little sense with you, right after these words.
Another hour of the Political Cesspool is in the can, but don't go away. There's more to come right here on the Liberty News Radio Network.